Owners of hangar homes get help from Congress in their fight with the FAA. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. Despite Randy Babbitt's assurance at Oshkosh last year that he'd consider a case-by-case look at through-the-fence agreements at airports, the FAA toughened its stance against the practice, despite a lack of evidence of issues related to the practice. Brent Blue formed ThroughTheFence.org to organize a response to the policy, and at least in part because of his efforts, there are now proposals in both the House and the Senate to reclassify hangar homes as compatible land use near airports. Brent is joining us today for an update, and Brent, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, first, let me back up a little bit to the last time we talked. I've had a chance since then to really go over the letter that you received from the FAA's Catherine Baxter in response to the issues, obviously, you're raising. You're making some noise and getting their attention on this aggressive policy against through-the-fence agreements at airports. And she wrote to you, your assertion that most people who live in hangar homes like airport noise has not been borne out by our experience. People who live in residential hangars like the Fly, they don't necessarily like the noise. They complain just like everyone else when the noise is from an aircraft that isn't theirs. Now, I think if nothing else, your Freedom of Information Act requests and the resulting documents or lack thereof suggest that this is kind of a fairy tale.
It is a fairy tale. We made a Freedom of Information Act request for all the noise complaints to the FAA from anyone who had a through-the-fence agreement for the last 10 years, and there were zero. Now, the FAA says, well, they don't complain to us, they complain to airports. But if they make a rule based on this noise issue, and they have no documentation whatsoever, I mean, they don't have documentation that says airports have told them that they get complaints.
Mm-hmm.
There's no documentation of any of that. And it just on face value, how many people do you know who buy a hangar home who then complain about airport noise?
You know,
it's
enough of a mystery to me, Brent, that people buy a house next to an airport who are not pilots and complain about airport noise.
And I understand how that could be a problem. But even in current rules, when people build or buy homes near airports, generally there are zoning rules which require in covenants and other documents that they acknowledge that they're buying or building next to an airport and that there will be airport noise, and they give up the right to complain about that. And that, we did that to a subdivision that was built near the Driggs Airport in Driggs, Idaho. They built a subdivision that literally was right under the pattern, the left-hand pattern for runway 3. And they made everyone who bought in that subdivision sign a acknowledgement that there was going to be airport noise.
Well, let's talk. You mentioned Driggs. Let's talk about some hearings that the FAA has held on this that, frankly, I had not followed closely, and you brought me up to date on. Apparently, they had some public meetings on this issue.
Well, it's very interesting because the policy that forbids hangar homes and other through-the-fence agreements was submitted and came out officially on September 30th, 2009, without any public input whatsoever. And there was also no alphabet group input whatsoever. In a Freedom of Information Act request, when I asked for all the documentation that went into the policy, there was no study, there was no data, no economic impact, there was literally nothing except FAA personnel opinion. And they were basically saying, well, we think this is the way it should be. So there was a comment period, and there is still a comment period till the 31st of March on this, but it basically is for future revisions. It's not for current policy. There was a comment period that ended in December on a implementation policy for FAA personnel, but the only people who were asked to comment were the alphabet groups. They never asked the public. They did get 70 comments, but we think that there would have been many more had they truly advertised its availability to the public. Then what happened was, because I believe we have caused so much consternation at the FAA because of all the issues we're bringing up, plus the introduction of the bills from Senator Inhofe and Congressman Graves and Boswell, the FAA decided in the sixth month of the six-month comment period to have some fact-finding missions with FAA personnel from Washington coming out to various airports and listening to the public, listening to the airport sponsors or owners, and hearing what the facts might be. Now, this is the first time they've done this.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out to Erie, Colorado, to Independence, Oregon, to Sandpoint, Idaho, to Driggs, Idaho, and they stopped at Oshkosh, and Oshkosh has a couple through the fence agreements. They're not for hangar homes, but they stopped at Oshkosh, and they didn't even let the EAA know in advance they were coming. They just talked to the airport manager initially, and then they went over and visited with the EAA. To give you an example of some of the things they learned that they had no idea of, was they thought, for instance, that all hangar homes looked like homes, in other words, looked like a traditional home with a hangar next to it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like in Driggs, where most of our hangar homes look like hangars with a little attachment that is a home but still looks like a hangar.
Right.
Now, why that's of significance to them, I'm not sure I understand, but that they just were astounded by that. They had a PowerPoint presentation they've been using on this little tour, and they have seven examples of airports where there are, quote, hangar home problems. But they are all off point, and some of them get to the point of being absurd. I'll give you one example would be the situation at Gillespie Field in Southern California near San Diego.
Okay.
At Gillespie Field, they show a picture in this presentation on page 8 that shows that a hangar home that was built on airport property, so it's not even a through-the-fence agreement, this is a hangar home on the airport,
right.
Is partially blocking the view from the tower cab of a taxiway. Now, what they don't say is that the FAA has to sign off on all construction on airport property.
Mm-hmm.
And then when questioned about, well, does it make any difference that this is a hangar home versus a hangar as far as blocking the taxiway, they had to said, no, it doesn't make any difference. And then I called and talked to the people at Gillespie about this specific situation. And this hangar home that was blocking part of the taxiway view, is part of a hangar home association, a residential association on the airport. And the association bought a closed-circuit television system, installed it so that and put the CRT in the tower at no expense to the government or the airport, and pays for the annual maintenance on the system, and it actually improves the visibility of that taxiway in the cab than it was before they put it in, before this other building was built. So it's actually a better situation. And the FAA, of course, never mentioned any of that happening in their presentation. One of the things they did at Driggs, and that was the meeting I was personally at, is they went on a tour of the airport. And mm-hmm. after the tour, one of the hangar home owners asked three times, are there any problems on this airport from through-the-fence agreements or hangar homes? And the FAA never came up with an answer to her question. I mean, she asked it three times, and they never responded that there were any problems. They just didn't respond.
Mm-hmm.
Another situation that they brought up was that the at Claremont County, which is where Sporty's is and where they have Sandy's Air Park there, which is a great place,
right.
They pointed out that the airport there has an off-airport FBO that fuels on the airport. Now, that FBO pays flowage fees and they pay an access fee. And they're not a hangar home, even though they happen to be next to the subdivision that is a hangar home.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with the point. Why that is a problem and why that affects hangar homes is beyond any comprehension that I have. I can't imagine what the issue is.
More with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Brent Blue of ThroughTheFence.org about the FAA's unexplainable campaign against hangar homes and businesses with Through the Fence agreements and how Congress may put an end to it. Brent, tell us about the situation in Independence, Oregon. I think that's a particularly fascinating circumstance regarding the FAA's contention that that hangar homes and Through the Fence agreements encourage further residential development close to airports.
Well, that was a pretty interesting exchange that I had with the FAA personnel in Driggs, Idaho. They brought up as one of the issues about why they don't want hangar homes near airports is that hangar homes, they said, encourage non-aviation related homes to be constructed near airports. So I said, give me an example. And the example they gave me was Independence, Oregon. Now, I know Independence, Oregon. I know the people up there because they're deeply involved in the Through the Fence issue. And what happened in Independence, Oregon was, they have an airport. They built a very nice hangar home subdivision on one side of the runway. There was a proposal to put in low-cost, high-density housing on the other side of the runway. So the airport responded by building another hangar home community on that side of the runway as well, essentially providing a buffer to non-aviation-related homes around the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So the example the FAA gave me was an example of why hangar homes are better for airports. And so they essentially were using something that proved our point, not their point.
Well, I guess the thing that I can't really understand about all this is that nobody seems to like this. I mean, the airports don't like it. The towns and sponsors don't like it because if you take a hangar home and terminate the Through the Fence agreement, the value of that property drops substantially. Obviously, pilots don't like it. It's hard to figure out why the FAA has been on this wagon.
And we can't figure that out either, and they have been unable to give us an answer that is not a moving target because they keep coming up with things like noise. For instance, the noise issue never came up in these public fact-finding missions. And I think the reason is we have shown that noise is not an issue for hangar homes. And so then they change it now to it's encouraging, you know, non-residential or non-aviation related residences being constructed. I mean that was a totally new kind of area.
Mm-hmm.
They kept on bringing up that they don't want hangar homes because hangar homes are difficult to move or get people to sell, and they want to be able to look at the airport 50 years from now and what that expansion of that airport might entail. And of course, the response to that is if you don't allow hangar homes and you threaten the viability of the airport by not allowing Through the Fence agreements, there won't be an airport in 50 years, much less worrying about expanding that airport. But the reasons just keep changing because they really don't have any good reasons.
When we continue the conversation tomorrow, We'll get into details of what the bills in Congress would do to end the FAA's attempted crackdown on hangar homeowners. If you prefer not to wait, we've posted that Aerocast early. Find out more about this issue at throughthefence.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.